Number 15. We looked at last week out of John chapter 15, living in the luxury of fruit. Fruit is definitely a luxury item. Even though it is readily available, it's just not always available. As we looked at last week in this topic, we saw the law of fruit. As it was established by God, every seed yields seed after its own kind. Apples yielding apples, oranges, oranges, bananas, bananas, peaches, peaches, and so on and so forth. We also established that in that law, it takes time to grow. And in that, we got some lessons from it. It must be in the source, the Word of God. And there's fruit that comes. Then we looked at the landscape of this fruit. What does it look like? As we established through Galatians chapter 5, that it is something that is lovely and joyful and peaceful and tough and soft all at the same time. It's good. It bears one at a time by faith and keeps going. This morning, I want to continue along these lines talking about fruit from John chapter 15. As we look at what is this vineyard all about? What is this vineyard all about? As we see here in John chapter 15 and verse number 1, as the Scripture says, I am the vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. What is this vineyard all about? Let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, I ask that you would take this reading of your word. God, may you apply it to our hearts and our minds. For Father, we desperately need you. We need you to come in to fill us with your joy. Fertilize the soil around us that we might grow fruit that would abound, fruit that would remain. Not that we might receive glory for it. For Father, we know that any fruit that would abound from this vineyard that you've planted here at Crossroads Baptist Church, God, any fruit would be to your honor and your glory. And Father, I hope that throughout this entire congregation today, that we would all have that same desire to see you glorified, to see your name high and lifted up. Because Father, our works of righteousness are as filthy rags. God, you tend to use them. And we're ever so grateful for that. And so as we go through this process of time, use it in our lives that you might receive the honor and the glory as only you deserve. pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What's this vineyard all about? I want to give you just four simple things, and then we'll be through this morning. The first thing I want you to see that it's all about is it's about a relationship. It's about a relationship. You see, Jesus describes himself in verse number 1 by saying, I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman. Then he says in verse number 2, every branch, and if you're in the habit of marking your Bibles, you might mark those two words there, in me. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He says again in verse number 4, abide in me. Again, mark those two words there, in me. Continue reading. And I in you. You might mark those words too. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide, again, those words, in me. He says in verse number 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth again in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered and gathered. And men gathereth and casteth into the fire, and they are burned. Verse number 7, if ye abide, what's it say there? In me, mark that, and my words in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. What's this vineyard all about? Can you see that there is a relationship here? When Jesus is saying, abide in me, he is telling us and speaking to people they understand that it is something that is a vital, life-giving relationship to himself. You see, it's all about Jesus here. Notice the relationship when each time that he's talking about abiding in him, or in his words, as he says, in me, he is speaking to someone. There is something or someone that is abiding within him. And it is a vital relationship when he talks about this. The survival of the Christian life, if you will, is dependent upon you and I abiding in and with Jesus Christ. It is vital part of the Christian life, and no one can bear fruit for the glory of God unless they're attached to the vine. It's the only way to do it. How does this take place? How does one get to be what we might call in Jesus? Well, we have some other analogies through Scripture, but in order to be in the vine, there is this process of the new birth that Jesus talked about in John chapter 3, as Nicodemus came to him and he said, how can I inherit eternal life? And he wanted to know the secret of life, and he wanted to live forever and all of those things. And Jesus told him, he said, you must be born again. And so this process of getting in the vine takes place by this new birth. Now, it's not just simply about being what we might consider to be in. No, I want to remind you that there is a vast difference between a relationship and a religion. A vast difference. Many, many people throughout the entire world find themselves in religion and they miss the vine completely. Because that's what they're tapped into. That's what they are finding themselves in. And the two are not, they don't always go together. There are many people who are moral and upstanding and truthful and all of those things. But it doesn't necessarily mean they're in Jesus. They might be in something, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're in Jesus. But it is about a relationship. Multiple times here, as you marked in your Bibles, Jesus said something about being in Him. Why? Because it's about a relationship. Now, that relationship doesn't just include the Lord Jesus Christ. It includes the husbandmen of the vineyard. We talked a little bit about that last week. As God the Father, the one there, He is the husbandman. He is the one tending to. He is the one that is allowing again that vine to even have the branches. And He is the one that is on the deciding factor. And He is the one that is tending to. No one, again, can be a fruitful branch for the glory of God until they have that vital, life-giving connection to the vine. He said, I am the vine. My Father is the husbandman. It's not just about a relationship. It's about a reproducing. Again, as we looked at last week, what is the purpose of the vine? The purpose of the vine is to bear fruit. That is the purpose. The vine has one distinct purpose in its life, and that is simply to bear fruit. But if you'll notice, the vine itself doesn't necessarily bear the fruit, but it's distinguished, and it delegates the fruit bearing to the branches. Now again, that vine, that main thread there, as you look through, and we're going to use that vine sends off those branches, and off those branches, you find the fruit. You don't find the fruit hanging off of the vine per se. It comes out of the vine because the vine is what is giving that life, and it's delegating that to that. But the fruit has, or the branches have fruit everywhere, so it should. You see, Jesus came into this world to die on the cross. If you'll recall, that is why He came. He didn't come for any other purpose but to die. And as He died, His death was to bring life once again. As Jesus rose from the dead on that third day, according to the Scriptures, He brought eternal life to anyone and everyone, or as the Bible says, to whosoever will. And in that, they get tapped into that vine for what? To bear fruit. To bear fruit of more souls, to bear fruit of holiness, to bear fruit of spirituality, to have sanctification, to have souls. Again, some of the fruit that we are to bear in the sanctification process. You know what we're to become like? Jesus. Some of the fruit that we are to bear in our life, as we talked about last week, the fruit of the Spirit. Again, it's not just souls, and we'll get to that as far as the fruit of soul winning and all of that in weeks to come. But there's a whole lot more fruit in the Christian life that we have to produce in it. That we must have. The sanctification process. In our lives, it's what we're going to yield. Again, those three basic fruits there, the sanctification process, becoming more like Him. Spirituality, hey, behaving more like Him. Amen. And then burdening, having that burden, seeing souls come to Him. It's about a relationship. It's about reproducing. Hey, can I tell you the third thing this morning? We're moving quite quickly here, but it's not just about a relationship. It's not just about reproducing. It's about responsibility. You see, not everyone in this world knows Christ as their Savior. Yes, mercy. Our brother just told us only 5 people out of 100 even own a Bible. Some have part of the Bible. But what did you say, brother? 55%? Is that what it is? 55% of the world doesn't even have one? 49%. I need to listen better. You all had that already. That's good. 49% doesn't even have a copy of the Word of God, not even a word, to the best that we can tell. I don't know if you understand what a privilege we have. I mean, I want you to consider for a moment your own place in life. Anyone in here, maybe you've done an ancestral check and all of that. Is anyone in here royalty? I mean, you know, you've traced it back and you know, parents, grandparents, generations ago, I mean, have some royal blood in you. Anyone? You don't want us to know. You do, Joe? You wish. You wish. Okay. I thought you might be kidding, but at the same time I thought he might. You know, he's a kingly kind of guy. Got to mix some humor in, Randall. Now, wait a second. Okay, so none of us are. So we would consider all of our ancestral things to be, and don't take offense to this, but we're all just pretty average folks, right? Okay, I mean, I know some of you are above average. I know that. But for illustration's sake, we're average. Amen. Good. So would we agree, though, that if somebody would be able to say, I'm of royalty, we would all agree that would be a privilege, right? Now, a special privilege that, you know what, you and I don't have anything to do with. That's another thing, right? That's what makes it a privilege. I mean, if we were to say, you know, yeah, my dad's the king. Wow. I mean, my dad was a janitor. He was, wasn't he? That's what my dad did. He was. Your dad may have been a pipe welder or whatever, but could you imagine if we could say, my dad was a king? But do you realize with privilege comes responsibility? Every time. With privilege always comes responsibility. Now, let me fill you in on something here real quickly. Last time I checked, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you know what you have? You have a Father who is a King. We are royalty. We do have a Heavenly Father who owns everything. We are privileged to do that. 49% of the world doesn't even know about it. Yet we have something that God has given to us. And now, as I talk about what a privilege that is, may I tell you this morning, we have a responsibility as being tapped into that vine to be able to give to the rest of the world and the rest of the people around us. We have a responsibility. It has arrived. It is today. And we have a job to do. We're abiding in someone, and this person is abiding in us, and he's given us a wonderful relationship. He has given us a wonderful responsibility to tell others and to bear fruit for his glory. You see, when you're not the king, and let's just say that we might be royalty, but we're not the king. Amen. You know what that means? That means everything that we do reflects back on the king. Yeah. I've told this before, but I remember when Rachel and I were dating and I had done something at college, said something, and I was telling her about it, and I thought she was going to be on my side and defend me and say, oh, you're right, dear, and all of that. And she said, hey, you need to know something. Everything you do, we're dating now, and everything you do reflects on me. She said, I have a good reputation at this school, and I plan to keep it that way. Isn't that what you said? It is. When I dated her, I took upon her a responsibility. And I knew at that moment everything I did reflected on her. Everything we do reflects back on Him. When we bear the name of Christ, when we bear that name of Christian, oh yeah, we can say, oh, I go to church. It's a whole lot more than that. Amen. It's a whole lot more than that. And we have a responsibility as being tapped into that vine to be fruitful. I want to be a fruitful branch for the glory of God. There are some secrets to fruitfulness. You know, I think everyone wants to be great. We really do. And we have the responsibility, and I understand we have the relationship. We have all of these things. And we want to be fruitful. I mean, we understand. I mean, if we were to take a poll this morning and go through the room and ask, do you want to be fruitful in your life? And we went through the room. I don't know. I mean, maybe some of you might shock me. I don't know. But I don't think that we would have anyone that would say, no, don't want to be fruitful. Don't want to do anything in my life. Just want to do nothing. Some of you might shock me. Some of you might lie and want to do nothing and say, yeah, I want to be fruitful. Because you know that's what I would want to hear. I understand that. But what does fruitful mean? Can we talk about the reality of this thing? And we're going to bring this thing to a close. What is the reality of fruitfulness? I learned this just last week. I don't know the accuracy of it, but I was talking to somebody while we were in Oklahoma City, and they taught me this, and so I'm going to give it to you, but I have not done the complete research to know. But as he said it, and as I thought about it, it seemed to be maybe somewhat accurate. And here's what he told me. And he didn't know I was doing this sermon on fruit bearing and all of this, and we were just kind of talking. And he said, Aaron, I grew up on a farm. And he said, we had cows and we had this. And he said, our crops every year. And he said, as I learned through and I started studying, this was him, not me. He said, I found that about 65% of our crop years were average years. About 65%. I said, okay. He said, about 15 to 20% of those crop years were above average. And then he said around 10 to 12, you can add up the math, I'm probably wrong, I don't do math well, percent were bad years. Now, the majority, though, are average. Now, I want you to consider something in your own life. Now, we measure life in all kinds of different ways, don't we? When you get around our age, we start doing day or years, right? It's just how we measure life in years. Some of you are able to do decades. Some of you still go days. Abigail, I know, still does days. That's all. Days a long time, right? You have to wait one day. That's forever. No, it's a day. Can you wait till tomorrow? Sure. Only because I'm putting her on the spot. Are you that way, Lauren? Today, a day is forever. How about a week? A day is forever for you? Okay. So it's just perspective of time, isn't it? All right, just to let you know you're in good company there. When you think about it, how many average days did you have last year? You had so many average days you don't even know. How about this one? Last year, now we just came out of 2016. Let's just do a group evaluation here of 2016. How many bad days, I mean just worst day ever type days did you have in 2016? Anyone care to share a number? How many, Brother Terry?
I don't know. It must not have been lasting impression.
I would have said it probably around 51, 52 for you. Can be better. So what you're saying is that really, really bad day turned out to be an average day?
Yeah.
Okay. How many really, really good days did you have? Oh, bad. Bro, bring them on. Bring them on.
Nine.
Nine bad days. What's the percentage on that? Somebody do that math because I can't. Help me, Matt. Nine out of 365, what's the percentage? 3%? 3% bad day. How many great days did you have in 2016? Mister.
When I say great days, I have one really great
day. One really great day.
And then a lot of great days.
Which are average days for you. An average day for David is great. And I'm sure it is. But look, hey, when you're a child of the King, shouldn't they all be great days? Even the bad days are great days because I know who my Father is, right? I mean, let's talk about the reality, though. We come in and we have a bad day and we want to throw it all away and be done. Right? Just be done with it. What a bad, stinking day. Oh, it's the worst week ever. Throw it all away. It's what we do in life. But the reality is, most of our days are average. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. We have some great days. We create great memories. But all in all, it's pretty average. We don't need to just throw it all out over one bad day or even, hey, how about this? How about one bad year? Be done. Had a low year. Didn't make as much money this year as that year or whatever. And we don't need to just throw it all away. No. No, the reality is if we're bearing fruit, we're bearing fruit. And it's for His honor and His glory. It's not even about us. When Jesus gave His parable, I think it's Matthew chapter 13, could have the reference wrong, but when He talks about the sower that sowed the seeds. Remember the one that sowed it on the good ground, what it yielded? Remember what He said? Some 30, and some 60, and some 100. Can I just remind us of something very, very quickly? God is not concerned about the quantity as much as He is the quality. You see, God has a lot of vineyards. Amen. Some yield 30, some 60, some 100. And He's okay with that. We ought to be okay with that if we're doing it for His honor and His glory. You see, why are we doing this? What's this vineyard all about? Well, it's about a relationship. He gives us the law. And it is about reproducing. We are to produce something. But it's about a responsibility. And it's about a reality. And the reality is, God is in control. We'll have some average years. We'll have some above average. We'll have some below average. But at the end of the day, what it's all about is whether or not we're producing fruit that He expects. You see? What are you producing? Are you producing sanctification? Are you becoming more like Him? Are you behaving more like Him? Are you reproducing after your own kind and winning souls that He's told us to do? What are you bearing? We've got a vine here. We need to be producing. We need to be doing what He has called us to do. Some will be average, some above, some below. But we all need to be bearing fruit. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. What are you producing? One, I ask this morning, where is your relationship? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? You must start there. Are you in the vineyard? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to invite you. Would you let somebody take the Word of God and show you how you could know for sure that when you die, heaven would be your home? We call it around here being born again. You can be born again today. Where are you at? If that's you this morning, you say, I don't know if I died today that heaven would be my home, but I sure want to know. I'm not in the vine, but I want to be in the vine. You say, I'd love to have somebody show me from the Bible how they can know for sure. If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand right where you're at? Anyone at all? By your own testimony, everyone giving testimony this morning saying, I'm in the vine. All right, if you're in the vine, what are you producing? What are you doing? They say, well, Pastor, you need to understand, last year was a really bad year. That's fine. I understand that, but don't throw it all away because you had one bad year, one bad crop. Keep going. So it was an average year, just another year. That's fine. He said, Pastor, it was the best year of my life. That's great. It's wonderful. What are we going to do this year? We must keep going. We must keep growing. What will you do? If God's spoken to you this morning, as the piano begins to play, in just a moment, the altar will be open. You may respond, our Heavenly Father, have your way during this time. God, that we might yield to you, get a little closer to the vine, that we might resurrender ourselves for bearing your fruit. Help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As you stand to your feet, we're turning to number 329. As Brother Terry sings, if you need to do business with the Lord, you come.